Sports Speak Podcast. This is your host, Aaron Daniels, and I got a really, really special guest on my show today. I got the privilege to coach this kid during her high school career, probably the highest profile athlete that I've ever coaching. We developed a pretty decent relationship, and we've been able to maintain it over time. We're talking about a two-time Gatorade State Player of the Year coming out of the state of Oklahoma. Went to the University of Arkansas to start her college basketball career, and currently she's at Texas A&M University. I'm talking about Aaliyah Wilson. What's up with you, A?
What's up?
Long time no see, long time no speak. You doing okay?
Yeah, it's been
I'm
a minute.
Well,
doing
as well.
Good.
You know, so we're gonna jump right into it. And a lot of this stuff, you know, I already know, but I feel like you got a hell of a story to tell. So I want to go ahead and shoot you some questions. First of all, tell me about how it was growing up in the town of Muskogee, because it's a small town, but it's one of the biggest small towns I've ever been in. And I done met some pretty good people around those parts, and they are proud of their town and their people. How was it for you growing up?
Yeah, of course I love my town. Muskogee is a really, really nice place. I feel that, like, where you raise your family, we treat each other pretty good, of course, especially within sports. I feel like once you're known to each other and once you build a relationship within the schools and community, stuff like that, you know, everybody supports everybody pretty good. And I think that's really cool about Muskogee because, you know, when you come back, you know, you always still have that love. You always see it on, you know, social media. Everybody always checking up on each other, stuff like that. So that was always pretty cool. Like you said, it's a small town, but it's still pretty big within itself. And so I think that's the beauty of Muskogee, because most towns, you know, they're small and they're super small. And it's not too much here. And so that's what I love, I guess.
Was it difficult being a youngster because, you know, you pretty much don't have anywhere you can hide, especially if you're out there cutting up? Like, you're going to run across somebody who knows you or your people and they're going to be reporting it back to them. How was that?
Oh, yeah, I guess, you know, the little phrase they use, it takes a village. I think they implement that most definitely out here. Of course, everybody knowing my parents and my family, there was no room to get in trouble. So if I get in trouble at school, somebody had my dad's number, somebody had my mom's number. They texting, calling, emailing, like, hey, so-and-so cutting up. So I definitely had to be on the lookout and, I guess, behave myself in more of a well-mannered way so that those people that know my family didn't, you know, go reporting back like, Leah cutting up, she doing whatever. So
that's for sure. Now, I know your parents and they're great people, but like, and it's always been an interesting dynamic to me between those two personalities, because your mom, like, she's always been a sweetheart to me, but I know she can get a little fiery with y'all. You know what I mean? And your dad, he always, like, I don't think I've ever seen him in a different mood. He's always like even keel. You know what I'm saying? So which one is the good cop and who's the bad cop out of them two?
Honestly, to me, I think it's pretty even. It's just their demeanors are different. Like, my mom, like you said, she's really sweet, real nice, but she's still gonna get after me. Like, I know not to do certain stuff because she'll get me, but I feel like I also know if I want to try and get away with something or try to sneak something by my mom, that's the person to go to, is my mom. My dad, he keeps that same demeanor, but he's really chill, but at the same time, it's like his demeanor is, you know what to do, you know what not to do. If you take care of that, you good. So as soon as I'm doing something bad or something I know I shouldn't have done, you know, I already know it's coming. I already know what it is. It's just a matter of trying to figure out if his demeanor is going to change or whatever it is. But they both really chill, though. And so it's kind of a coin toss, I guess you could say.
Way to break. Now we got to talk about ball. All right, because you come from a family of athletes, and I'm not even talking about just your immediate family, your cousins, your uncles, aunts, the whole shebang, and it's a bunch of y'all too. But do you remember when you first picked a ball up? Like, I know it must have been when you were little. You remember when you first were like, okay, I want to play some ball?
I think when I was first like that would probably be when I was like probably about four. Of course, before that, I had touched the ball, whatever, you know, just being around it and with my family. But when I was like, okay, like, hey, dad, mom, or whatever, like, when they proposed, like, basketball to me, and I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. I probably say
has it always been just basketball, or were you ever, did you ever get into any other sports besides?
I did some other sports. I tried, I did track, I did softball, I did a little soccer, and I did a little bit of volleyball. Of course, I liked all of them really early or whatever, but it was pretty obvious, I guess, to myself and my parents, like, okay, basketball is the one
for
I love the
for
most.
Sure. Now I think so. I knew about all of those except for soccer. I didn't know you had that background. That's good stuff. Well-rounded.
Yeah, I played soccer probably, it was probably like one summer, and one of my neighbors I had became real good friends with, she was on a soccer team, and I see her playing all the time. We would play together, so I was like, why not go ahead and just give it a try?
No doubt. So, now, you are one of the youngest. You're the next to the youngest of all of your siblings. And I know your older brother and your older sister, both of them, mm-hmm. great people, number one, but they also were really good at sports themselves. Can you speak about how it was coming up behind them? Because they made a name for themselves in y'all's community. Did you ever have to deal with the comparisons and the scrutiny and all of that?
There was always definitely comparisons, but, you know, I always say to everybody, like, I know for a fact myself, I wouldn't be the player or the person that I am if it wasn't for the footsteps, you know, that they set for me. Like my, like you said, my older brother, he's I thought he was like LeBron James, just right. watching him play through high school, you know, and college and all that. So he set the standard really high for, like, for all of us. And then, of course, my sister being who she was and being able to do what she did, that made, you know, that raised the standard even higher to myself. So I felt like just being able to watch them and be around them and, you know, just seeing the work ethic that both of them had, then trying to implement that or trying to fill in those shoes. At first, I guess I felt like it was hard, but then once I was able to understand, like, you know, you don't have to try and compare yourself because of, you know, other people trying to compare you guys to each other, like, just being your own person and knowing how each one of us were all, you know, unique in our own ways was pretty cool. So there were definitely comparisons, but end of the day, they know little sisters. Give them a little business.
With that being said, y'all's relationship, was your relationship with them always pretty good, or did y'all ever have to bump some heads during all of that era?
We definitely, I think our relationships were pretty good. We handled it pretty well because we're all really still, you know, childish, and we don't really take, you know, think about that too much. Of course, we always, like me and my sister, when we playing each other, we get into it. I probably get mad because she's always mm-hmm. whooping up on me for the longest. So within competition, we did bump heads, but it was still like just in that
sure.
moment.
So y'all were able to leave it on the floor? Now, yeah, speaking of the floor, what I thought was always interesting, and both of y'all were kind of tough to read because I think y'all had, like, two of the greatest, you know, poker faces ever. It was always hard to figure out what's going on in between your ears. But I remember when you first came into high school, you were coming in as a freshman, obviously, and Alexis, your sister, she was going into her senior year. So you all were going to be playing in the same program together for a year. How exciting was that? Or were you not even looking forward to that at all?
It was super exciting, but at the same time for myself, I kind of thought it was like I was getting a little nervous just because, like you said, coming into high school, she's a senior, you know, like I really wanted to play with her. So I didn't know how it would go or, you know, how it would end up. But I was definitely excited just for that opportunity within itself, just being able to play with my sister that summer before we were able to play with each other. And so I liked that a lot. So I'm like, okay, like I was heavy looking forward to the
So when you say
sure.
summer, you're talking AAU, right? Now, we definitely got to go
yeah,
that route
yeah.
because I know, I think, did you bounce around a little bit during your AAU years or were you pretty much with one team throughout?
I kind of bounced around. It was three teams that I played with. I played with Oklahoma A&M with Tim Gill for, that was my most consistent team. For a second, I played with the Arkansas Mavericks. And then that summer before my sister's senior year, so my freshman year, I got to play up with her on the Oklahoma Select team, which was the team that was traveling, going to all the most of the showcases with the big time showcases. So that was really, really, really cool because I hadn't been around no type of exposure like what they had in their tournaments. coming from the playing in my own age group tournaments where I was getting exposure, and then going to those tournaments where it was like 50 to 100 different college coaches watching, and it was definitely a big difference. But I was able to play with all three of those teams.
Man, talking about that different level or the different stage of exposure, you always were a big time type of performer, in my opinion. But I always wondered, did you ever feel nerves at all? And when I say nervous, I ain't talking about scared, because I think scared is when you haven't put in that work. But nerves is like anxiety. Did those big moments ever have you nervous, or were you just always pumped and ready to get it going?
I was always pumped, but I did get nervous. There was one time that I did get nervous, and it was that summer, actually, whenever I played with the select team. And I believe we were playing DFW. It's actually the team that I played my last summer with, DFW Elite. It was the EYBL team, and that's the team we were playing. And so they had players like Breonna Turner and, you know, other big-time players on their team. And there was the most amount of coaches that I'd ever seen in one game. So kind of when we were warming up for that game, I'm like, dang, like, I'm kind of getting like a little palm sweating and stuff. Yeah, like, I'm like, dang. But that was probably the only moment that I've truly have gotten a little, you know, a little nerves going on. But outside of that, like you said, I guess just knowing that I prepare or I work for, you know, every moment. So I try not to approach those moments, you know, with thinking too hard about the situation, and just being, you know, just for being
sure,
myself.
Sure. Doing what I'm and during to your last year of AAU, and you correct me if I got the timetables mixed up, but if I remember correctly from talking to your pops, when you were playing on the circuit in the EYBL and everything like that, did you not have to, like, you had to travel a long distance to get to practice, right? Multiple times a week in the game. So how was that? You like a pro as a high schooler.
Yeah, so I play with DFW Elite, so our practices and everything is based in Dallas. So being from Oklahoma, yeah, I had to travel probably two times out of the week back and forth from Muskogee to Dallas. And, you know, sometimes I had to stay out there with one of my teammates for that week. Or I think one time I stayed out there probably 2 weeks straight, just because, you know, traveling like that could get hard, you know, having to pay for gas and playing whatever. So, yeah, it was definitely an experience, though, because I feel like I was able to grow and prepare myself for, you know, like going to college or whatever it was I was going to have to do.
Right, being away from home and all that good stuff. Now, listen, you got a great personality. Yeah. You really do. But I do know that you're a family oriented person. So did it ever like weigh on you from being away for that amount of time, or did it take a while for you to connect with your teammates? Because I don't know if you knew any of those girls you were playing with ahead of time.
Yeah, when I first started doing that, it took me a minute to warm up, you know, to those girls, and then just like you said, being away from my family like that. That was my first time being away, going out to like an area and being away from both of my parents and, you know, all my family for that amount of time. So at first, you know, I was like, okay, I don't know how I feel about this, but then eventually I started getting accustomed to it and, you know, making more friends, stuff like that. So I started getting comfortable with it, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
You know what I mean? A little bubbly, you know what I mean? But that's good stuff. Yeah. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad it ended up working out. But now we got to take it back to school ball. Okay, so we're talking about high school ball. We talked about the fact that you and your sister were, y'all got that year to play together in the program. But another dynamic is that your dad was on the coaching staff, not just that first year, but throughout. And I'm pretty sure he's coached you in other areas outside of just high school ball. How was it having dad as coach? And were y'all able to maintain that balance between, you know, when to turn the coach player switch on and when to go back to being daddy daughter?
I personally love that experience within itself, because like you said, having him as a coach and then him being my father, it was like I already know the expectations and I already know like what he expects out of me. But being able to have him on the bench in those moments where I feel like I might be going, you know, through a little drought or where I may be struggling, it was easy for me to just go over there and like ask him, or easy for him to tell me like, hey, pay attention to this. Like, you're not being strong enough, stuff like that. It was easier for me to accept and hear that from him because, you know, like you said, he's my dad, and that's the dude that's training me, or I'm working out with him, stuff like that. So he knows my game better than anyone else. So having him there on that bench and then having that support from him, you know, each practice, each game, stuff like that, made me enjoy
that's a beautiful
it even
thing.
More.
And I had to throw that at you because, like, from coaches who are also parents, they've always told me that they're always either too hard on their kid when they're coaching them or they're not hard enough on them. But I always felt like your dad was great at finding that balance to where he wasn't too much on either side of that line. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he definitely was.
Okay, now also in high school, you had two other notable names that were playing alongside of you during your career. We're talking about Trina Mims, who was on the show a couple weeks back, and then Jada Ford. Man, first of all, y'all were like, y'all were all tight, and it was a trip to see y'all, you know, interact, because y'all are just kids, even outside of, you know, being big name athletes. But what was that experience like playing alongside of girls who were talented like that, just like you were talented?
That was pretty cool, especially because, like you said, being able to know them and, you know, growing up kind of with Jada and Trina around them, that made it easier too. And just having that type of talent next to you and not having to do everything, knowing you can rely on other players and knowing their strengths and them knowing your strength, kind of definitely made the game easier and made it more enjoyable instead of, you know, always having to work. You know, you could sometimes just relax and let them do their thing. So that, I think that played a really big part in making, you know, of course, like my high school experience myself even better.
Just in case some listeners out there don't know, we had a heck of an era during the time y'all were there. You know what I mean? And ended up going to the state tournament 4 out of 5 years, and all 5 of those years, including the one that you weren't in high school for yet, we won 20 plus games, got to every round of the state tournament, but we just couldn't get that brass ring. But what I'm gearing up to ask you is, of all of your years in high school, thinking about it individually, not as a team, which one of those years do you think was the most successful one for you, your freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior? I know you have some good ones, you know, so you got to think in the archives.
I think I want to say my junior year. I think that's my junior year set me up for a lot of, like you said, junior year we made it to the championship. We didn't win, but I feel like that game and that run we made prepared me for, you know, a lot of things. And I was able to get, like you said, quite a few individual accolades based off of that junior year, in my opinion. So I'm definitely have
you
to go.
You did, no doubt. And this last thing I know I've been going down memory lane on the high school days. That was a fun time. But also, I always wanted to know this on a personal note. With you having as much success as you did individually, it also spilled over into the team, and we had team success as well. But people were always just singing your praises and letting you know how good they thought you were and blah, blah, blah. And it was warranted, though. But I always admired how you were able to keep your feet on the ground. I never saw a moment where you looked like you were starting to, you know, buy into that and believe the hype. Like, was it ever difficult to not get to thinking about, yo, I am Aaliyah Wilson, you know what I mean? Did it ever get difficult, or were you able to just keep your feet on the ground the whole time through?
I was able to keep my feet on the ground. I guess I never really had thought about, you know, myself or just thought about certain situations like that. Of course, being around people like my parents who have always been humble and, mm-hmm. you know, even kill it like they are, I believe that made it even easier as well. But I always felt like it was something more I had to work towards. There's always stuff that I need to work on and all that. So just, you know, being that, like you said, hearing the, you know, the praises or whatever from other people was cool. But I guess just knowing myself and knowing what I needed and what I wanted, it didn't ever allow me to be able to think of myself or
beautiful,
things like
beautifully
that.
Said. Okay, then here comes the recruitment process. Obviously, you know, you between you, Jada, and Trina, y'all had coaches in the gym, you know, from August when we started preseason workouts all the way throughout the season. And I know that recruitment process was kind of stressful, you know, people coming at you, they want to know what you're thinking. How was that recruitment process? Was it solely on you, or was it a collective decision between you and your parents?
The recruiting process was bittersweet. I think my parents probably My parents probably got upset with me quite a few times just because I would kind of get, not tired of it, I would kind of just fall off a little bit and I wouldn't be doing what I needed to with communicating. So I say they probably, my parents probably played a really, really big part of it. But of course, when I needed to, I would try and step in. But it definitely got, it got hectic quite a bit. But for the most part, I guess it was more so on my communication between my parents and then how they felt about the coaches.
For sure, for sure. And so you ended up choosing to go to the University of Arkansas right out of high school, right? What was that experience like? And right. the reason I'm asking is because it took a while for me. I think it was months after you had had a health scare or something like that. I didn't even know that you were deactivated till you were back healthy. So what was that first year like?
Oh, my first year was definitely tough. it was super tough. Like you said, I committed, went to Arkansas. Of course, I was excited because I'd be close to home. I had my family support. I'd be able to get home pretty good, pretty quick, stuff like that. Test and I ended up getting sick. I had Graves' disease, and then within Graves' disease, my disease had flared up pretty bad. So it had my weight going up and down. I was really exhausted. A bunch of different other things that was going on with me within that. So I was out probably about, I want to say up to six months maybe, and just dealing with that. And then I a few other things that went on within my body that had just kind of made a lot of my organs and stuff kind of start trying to fail. And it was a lot, but within that and trying to come back and get back to where I was, it was pretty tough. I was not ready for that, or mentally or physically. Just, of course, like you said, coming from high school, that being my first year and kind of trying to handle that situation on my own as much as I could. That was really tough, but I finally got healthy. I went into remission with that, and within trying to get back to myself and get back in shape and get back, you know, catch up while everybody was in season was pretty tough. But overall, that situation itself, I feel like it helped build me as a person, my ability to push through things and stuff like that. So I definitely appreciate that year and everything that it brought me.
Now, I imagine you weren't ever able to get activated and play during that season, or did you? Did you lose that year totally?
Yeah, I did lose that year because I tried. So once I got healthy, I kind of tried to just, like, start working out and also still be, you know, with the team and all that. And so I played probably the last, I want to say maybe 2 months, or I tried to play the last 2 or 3 months of that season. And it wasn't my best, but I still tried, and so that took up my year. Mm.
Okay. Year one. Yeah.
About about red shirt and that moment, because I might have handled the situation better.
Yeah, and I agree with you there, and I've got my own experiences on that. Like, I looked at red shirt and during my time as like a slap in the face, but that was just me not knowing the business. But you know, you live and you learn. But
yeah,
that's year one in the books. Okay, so how was year two? You returned to Arkansas, didn't you?
No. So after year one, I went ahead and I got my release from my coach that year, and he probably right before I got my release, he ended up getting fired. So then that's when I ended up transferring to A&M.
Sounds like it just kind of worked out. What was there? Are there some things that you don't mind speaking to as to what led to you wanting to, you know, take your talents elsewhere?
Just the matter of that year and how difficult it was. My coaching staff, it wasn't. I felt like the team and the coaching staff wasn't well put together, and we had a lot of changes needed to be made. And so I just felt like everything that I went through in that year, I kind of just wanted to restart because my mindset and my body and everything was entirely different from when I made the decision to go there. And so when I did that and just everything and what I learned in that time being, I just knew I kind of for myself and to put myself in the best position I needed to go elsewhere.
Very, very mature decision. I can respect that. How difficult was it breaking the news to your coach? Because I got to imagine that took a little nerve to have that sit down.
Yeah, so actually, when I was trying to get my offers, I ended up having to go through administration of the athletic department because the coach had got fired probably like the day earlier in the day before I got my release. So the same day that I was trying to leave, he had kind of got fired. So it kind of worked out because, like you said, yeah. I don't think it would have been as easy of a conversation to get that done had I had to have that conversation with him.
Well, yeah, you said sometimes the stars just align, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, at the end of that year, right, what did the summer look like? Did you already have – did it take long after the end of that Arkansas era for you to figure out what the next move was going to be?
No. So once I got my papers, I kind of just – I had already been thinking on it, and I knew it was going to be a program that I was already familiar with because I knew what it was I was looking for. So I knew that I wanted to be in the place where – I knew I had the support on the court and off the court from my coaches and the people around me. I needed to go to a place that was going to have my back just like my family would if they were there, because I knew it would be probably somewhere further away from home. I also wanted to go to a place where I know I would become definitely a better player on the court, and they would develop me, and they had a past of developing good guards. So within everything that I was taking into consideration, of course, academics, it was pretty easy kind of narrowing down where I wanted to go. And so once I got that release, I think I had to go to USA trials that summer. And then when I got back, me and my parents just sat down and I'm like, hey, like, you know, I've already built a relationship with Baylor, A&M, South Carolina, you know, places like that. And I just sat and thought about it, and I kind of knew – I already knew that I wanted to go to Texas A&M. So I've talked to the coaches, and, of course, they were excited. They were happy to have me. They wanted me there. And so it just all really worked out. And I also had players that I played with on my DFW team that were already there, and another one was transferring there. So it kind of all worked out. Like you said, the stars aligned, and it worked out perfectly.
I guess that goes back to something that you said earlier about keeping the lines of communication open between you and the coaches. And that's good stuff. Sounds like it worked out. Now, then you get there. All right. Technically, you're a sophomore, right?
On the Correct. Floor.
Okay. And then is that the season you end up getting injured again?
Yeah. So, well, I went there my sophomore year. I had to sit that year out, of course, transferring rules. And right. The next year, which was this year, within that year I sat out was really good because the coaches really focused on, you know, developing my game and developing the small stuff that I still needed to work on. And that was a great year. Then this year was my year, my first year to start playing with them. I played the first, I want to say, 9 games. And, yeah, I ended up tearing my ACL on the 9th game, so.
God dog it, girl. Yeah, that's another one. I found out about that late in the game. Did you come down wrong, or was it some contact that was incorporated into that one?
Yeah, so we were in the tournament in Hawaii, in Maui, in Hawaii. You know, living good.
Right, right. Out there with the Mai Tais and everything.
Yeah. So I had went up for a rebound, and I jumped up pretty high. This is probably the highest I've jumped for a rebound in a long time, honestly. And right. I got up, and the girl that was guarding me, she slightly bumped me. She barely bumped me, honestly. But when I came down, I just landed on my left leg, you know, in a very awkward position. Then, like, my bone kind of just popped out, popped back into place. And I just felt the pop, and I'm like, okay, like, I know what that is. I know what's going on. So,
you knew what the injury was right away, huh?
Yeah, I did, because I felt the pop, and then just knowing how I seen both of my bones pop out like that, I knew I kind of just had an idea. But, of course, they wanted us to think positive, so they were like, okay, we're going to say it's a knee dislocation or this, that, and the other. But that was a pretty hard, I say, pop, and I just knew what was going on. But being out in Hawaii, we weren't able to get MRI or anything just because of how their health system works. So, of course, that left me, what, 3-4 days to wait and see, you know, what it actually was. But after that and the swell and stuff like that, I already kind of knew. So
now, I've seen people react in different ways to having an ACL injury. Like, I've seen some people tear it and they're still able to walk on it. And some of them are still even able to run, but obviously with a limp. Like, were you in like, excruciating pain right away to where you couldn't put any pressure on it at all?
Right away, I was in pain, but I think I was more so in shock of what had just happened. Mm. And so the pain plus, you know, my mental, I guess, shock, it kind of made it, I feel like it made it hurt worse than what it happened. But within that moment, no, I wasn't able to put as much pressure on it because it kind of swole up, you know, right after it happened. So after that, and like maybe a day or two later, I was back walking on it, though.
I hear you. And from a mental standpoint, I mean, you've always been a mentally tough kid, but I can only imagine, you know, going through that, going through what you went through first when you were in Arkansas and then having this happen, you know, shortly thereafter, I feel like that could test the will of somebody. Like, man, how much do I really want to do this? Or when you were talking about some concerns about, you know, having the support that maybe you didn't necessarily feel at Arkansas, were you concerned about any of those things? Or were you like, man, I'm gonna get through this and then I'm gonna be back out there on the court? Did the faith waver at all?
Like you said, just because of what happened my freshman year, and that just being, you know, that being my moment of just now getting my first, I say, my true touches on the floor. Yeah, it did. At first, when it first happened, I was pretty upset. I was pretty angry. I got in my head quite a bit for a few days. And then, of course, I talked to my parents, my family, just knowing, you know, just certain stuff that they've taught me. I just knew, like, okay, like, you know, you had your moment. I had my moment to feel what I wanted and needed to feel. Now it's time to get over, you know, it's time to figure out the next step and how I'm going to get over it, how I'm going to get past it and all that. So I guess just knowing my faith and knowing, you know, how I know I'm going to be okay and I knew I was going to be able to get through it helped me out a lot. But I did have that moment of, I guess you could say, emotion and, you know, anger or whatever.
Yeah, you got to be in your feelings for a little bit. We are human. But that's some beautiful advice that you got from your folks. And I'm glad you were able to, you know, shake the funk. So how are we coming along with your rehabilitation and your physical development? How you feeling?
So I'm 4 months. As of May 4th, I'm 4 months from surgery. And I'm actually doing really good. I'm recovering faster than a lot of people would. I'm sprinting and stuff like that now. Right now, I'm rehabbing still, just working on my lateral movements. Once I'm able to get my lateral movements back and that coordination within that, I'll probably be released within the next month and a half. So it's going pretty good.
Oh, that's all right, because I didn't hear a lot of restrictions in that right there. That's a good report. Okay. Yep. Now, one thing we haven't talked about is the different level of workouts, okay, from the high school level to the college level. So I always want to know, whenever I'm talking to college athletes, past or present, like, what does a preseason look like at the NCAA Division I level? Like, what kind of stuff? Are y'all out there getting killed? Or what's happening? I want to know.
Oh, they're killing us for sure, but it's a lovely pain. Like you said, preseason, of course, I say in the summer, the summertime is always the hardest, in my opinion.
Okay, we start.
Yeah, but okay, summertime is always the hardest, of course, for us. We'll go both summer sessions, and there's this thing we do that I feel like is the hardest thing that I've probably had to do since I've been in college, and it's this thing my coach does called defensive conditioning. And that's just a whole hour of him doing defensive workouts, you know, whether it's slides, anything you can think of, we probably doing it. We're not touching the ball, nothing. So that's probably the hardest thing I would say about within our workouts. But of course, after the summertime, preseason hits, we on the track, we in the weight room early in the morning, you know, conditioning, and individual workouts with your coaches. And then, of course, you always got to get your own extra shots up. So all that together, it's definitely a whole nother level from coming out of high school.
Now, when you say still have to figure out a way to get your own shots up, is that something that they monitor, or is that something that is pretty much done at your own discretion, whether you want to or you don't?
It's your own discretion for sure. We'll do scheduled workouts like individuals with our position coach, and we'll have probably 3 or 4 of them out of the week just based on when you schedule them. But just within on your own time, of course, it's expected. Not everybody is willing and wanting to do it on their own, but it is expected, and we, for the most part, everybody is, you know, willing and able to get that done.
Got you. I feel that. Now, I got to ask you this. This is another one of my annual questions. I feel like, you know, whenever your recruiter or your college coach that's recruiting you, you know, whenever they're trying to get you, they're letting you know all the good stuff about the program and about them, and they're probably being real nice and real personable. But I feel like there's always a moment where when you finally get on campus and it's work time, where they flip that switch and they show you that other side of the person that wasn't sitting on your couch in your living room. You know what I mean? So can you remember a moment, whether it was at Arkansas or at A&M, where your coach just snapped and you saw that other side, like, ooh, okay.
I think at A&M for sure. But at A&M, no, I guess I already knew or had the idea of, like, of course, they're going to be tougher and, you know, they're going to be who they are. But when the time comes, if we're not, you know, taking care of business or whatever, I knew they would be on our butt. So, but there was a moment in practice where my head coach, Coach Blair, you know, he's a real, real smooth, you know, calm talking guy. And mm-hmm. I think this is my first year there, and something happened in practice. One of the veterans wasn't doing what she was supposed to, and he kind of just snapped and went off. And I was just, for me, it wasn't funny, but just seeing him in that moment and that being his first moment where he's actually, you know, snapped or, you know, raised his voice and, you know, went in on the team or whatever, that was like a dang, but like a, okay, there we go. Like, that's what I wanted to see type of moment. So,
yeah, you know, I can see you in there chuckling on the low, trying to keep it low key.
Nah,
has he had to get after you at all? Have you had to be on the receiving end of one of those tantrums?
Not too bad, no. I usually take care of business pretty well. I'm reciprocating whatever it is they're telling me to do pretty well. But, you know, he does have moments where he'll have to get on to me or just, you know, say something as to something I'm supposed to do or something I know. Like, they always get on me if I've been hitting in practice, and then if we do a play and we just did it like 5 times in a row and I don't take the same shot, you know, they'll probably get upset with me because, like, we running this play for you, or we running this play for you to do that same thing every time, so don't get bored. And so he'll get upset with me about small things like that, but there hasn't been a moment where he's had to just, you know, snap on me.
That's good. It's always good to stay out of the line of fire.
Yes, for sure.
Now, as far as your individual game goes, I think you always have been pretty good about analyzing yourself and realizing, okay, this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm lacking, and this is what I need. Like, at this point in your game, outside of, you know, rehabilitation from the injury, what would you say is the next area of emphasis for you in your individual game? Like, what needs to improve? Are we talking shooting? Are we talking handling? Do we need to get stronger? Do I need to get a post game? What's the next step for you?
So for the next step, I know me and my coaches have been emphasizing, like, I have, a year or two left, and I plan on playing the WNBA. So in order for me to do that, I have to be able to play the one pretty well. So knowing that I already know I'm really comfortable in the two position and all that, I have to get my handles have to get tighter for sure. And what else? My handles for sure, and then just a matter of being more consistent from my jumper. So I guess those two things are the most consistent things I need to work on.
I like that. You actually hinted on the next question I was going to ask you. Life after basketball. And I got to make another Rudell reference, because your pops used to always say, you know, during the time you were in high school and we were all working together, he would say at some time, you know, that ball is going to stop bouncing. And he was like, you got to have something else that you can offer. So outside of basketball, what's your majoring in? And are you on track to graduate on time, kiddo?
Yeah, so my major is sports management with a minor in sociology. I will be graduating next year. I could have been graduating earlier, but just within transferring, you know, things don't always line up. So I wasn't able to get all of my credits that I got from Arkansas to transfer over to A&M. Mm-hmm. So that's that. But I will still be graduating on time and within this next year. After basketball, I would like to coach. That's my hope, that I'll be able to hopefully get in good with my coaches, and they'll have a spot open somewhere at A&M or anywhere that's well fitting for me.
Okay, so particularly at the college level, that's what you desire to be as a coach?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I can be honest, man. I never expected to hear that come out of your mouth. That's actually good right there. But yeah. I mean, not to say that you didn't have the mind for it. I just never knew whether or not you have that interest. But that's good. I think you got a lot to offer.
Yeah, I was about to say. I guess just from the times that I've, within these past few years, where I've been able to watch the game more and been able to dissect my coaches and their brains, their minds of what's going on during the game, especially within this last year, throughout the whole season, I'm over there on the sideline talking to my position coach, like, hey, like, why did we do that? Or, why is he running this play? And small stuff like that, I was able to ask her, and I was able to understand a bunch of different parts of the game more. So, yeah.
Sounds like it's slowing down for you, and that's a good thing. All right, now here's the last thing I want to throw. I'm very grateful to you that you took some time to come shop it up. But here's another one of those questions I always end with. You talked a lot about your foundation. You talked a lot about your family and your background. But, I know that none of us, we don't get what we want. Not all of what we want totally alone. You know what I mean? We don't get all the way to where we're going totally alone. We all need a little rub, a little help. So I want to know, who would you consider to be some of your influences, not just in basketball, but in life in general, like your go-to people that you'll pick up the phone and call up, to get them to speak some life into you or to get some advice on whatever the case may be?
Definitely my family. Of course, I talk to my mom, dad, probably every day. I'm always on the phone talking with them or asking my dad questions. And even my siblings, my sister, she always gives me a different perspective. I know they always express how proud of me if they are. So knowing that I'm able to talk to them about the good and the bad and, get advice. Make it pretty easy for me to be able to, talk to them about those type of things. And also my coach, Coach Tim, that was my AAU coach for Oklahoma A&M. He gives me pretty good advice, so I know I could pick up the phone, call him, and he'll help me out anytime I need it.
Beautiful thing right there. Well, Aaliyah, it's been more than a pleasure of mine to talk to you. It's been a while since we connected, so I'm definitely a huge fan, as I always been, and I'm going to keep watching you from a distance. I wish you nothing but the best, and please stay in touch with me, kiddo.
I will, for sure. Thank you for having me.
No doubt about it. And I appreciate you all for listening. This is another episode of Sports Speak Podcast, and we're going to hit y'all back next week, and we out.